much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Take the floor, girls. Positions. Now, I'm sure we all want to dance with an air of delicate grace. And since Teresa Taylor is our musical major, she may drop the needle on the record. Terry?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
What is your spirit animal?
I have a bunch of spirit animals. I'm a squirrel, I'm a whale, I'm a goat, and I'm a dragon.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
This is a sign from Jesus.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Can you sing Bastille? Wow, I think you got bean beat on that one.
And now,
science is proving their weak intellect and innate lack of character.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 4th of November. Or Movember, guys. As Bean likes.
Oh, don't
as
even
Bean
start.
Bean enjoys the Movember.
Forgot, sorry.
One of the first things I saw online this morning was your guide to growing a scrumptious beard and mustache for Movember. F you.
Bean, you're so hateful about men's health.
You don't care about testicles.
Or prostates.
That's your issue.
I was going to mention how deeply I care about testicles, but I knew that that's a soundbite that would be taken out of context. So I decided to not say. We all have to worry now about how things are going to sound when they're taken out of context, especially on this show.
Penis.
Exactly. Perfect example. Kevin just said that. That wasn't
didn't
a soundbite.
Just say that. That was a soundbite from before.
Hey, how's everybody doing with their Christmas shopping? Everybody pretty close to being done?
Not even a little bit, no.
Oh, really? It's already the 4th of November.
Right. Are you done?
No, I'm not done. But I was looking because I don't think we've talked about this year's Neiman Marcus fantasy gifts catalog. Mm-hmm. You know, every year the catalog comes out with hundreds of regular gifts that you could buy, that you would buy, you know, a teapot or silver set or whatever they sell at Neiman Marcus. But then there's the fantasy gifts that they've been doing since 1959, by the way. And every year we do talk about what's new this year.
Is there ever an update on do any of these sell?
Yes.
They do.
Yes. Many of them sell. I saw an article not too long ago where they did write about ones that did not get a bid. One was plans and materials to build an ark was one that did not sell.
Really? Wow.
Including animals, by the way. Not all of them, obviously, but some. You got some animals with it. Nobody decided
all of them
wanted
is kind of important in that particular
yeah,
scenario.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Well, I don't think they were thinking that you would need an ark actually for the same reason Noah did.
Okay.
But they did offer an ark if you wanted to, you know, buy and build one. But that one did not get anyone to buy. But people do buy them. I mean, look, it's hard to imagine, you know, as we go about our day-to-day lives. But there are people who have so much money that they can go out and spend $100,000 on something and not blink, not even think about it.
Yeah, just because it's a little funny or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So here are some of the items in the 89th edition of the annual catalog. As I say, they've been doing the fantasy gifts since 1959. And there are some that, you know, that I wouldn't spend this much money for, but I can see the appeal.
Penis.
For instance, for $150,000, you can take home a brand new motorcycle, 121 horsepower motorcycle designed by Keanu Reeves in partnership with famed custom bike builder Gard Hollinger. They have a company together where they make these custom handmade bikes. I hear they're excellent, by the way. You not only get the motorcycle, you get a trip up and down the California coast with the guys who designed and built the bike for you.
Can you pass on that part?
Can you go without Keanu?
Yeah, just take the bike.
All right. I think a lot of people probably would enjoy hanging out with Keanu, especially motorcyclists.
Right.
He's a big name in the motorcycle world.
Okay.
Here's an orphan barrel project. This is an experience that invites one lucky whiskey lover and five friends to go to the legendary Stitzelweller Distillery. That's in Kentucky. Well, they will relish bourbon tastings, go barrel hunting, which is where you go, I think, and go and look for barrels of whiskey that we didn't even know about or are one of a kind or something like that. You also get to create two hand-bottled orphan barrel brews with customized labels. You also get 24 bottles each of the remaining stocks of 8 different orphan barrel bourbons. Housed in a bespoke, made-in-Kentucky cabinet. It will only cost you $125,000.
That's very different from orphan burial, which is what I originally heard. And I thought, no,
wow,
I do not want that. Okay, yeah. Good.
For travelers, one customer and three guests will indulge in a one-of-a-kind art adventure in Europe, a seven-day Italy excursion led by jewelry designer Ippolito Rostagno, priced at $150,000. You meet acclaimed artists and visit local workshops, enjoy private museum tours, and dine on authentic Italian cuisine. Hey, why not a week in Italy for only $150,000? You got a little bit more to spend. There's a dream trip to India. It's a 12-day journey that takes travelers to the finest hotels and restaurants across the country via private planes, vintage cars with stops in Delhi, Jaipur, and Mumbai, guided tours, private cricket lessons, a dance class on a private Bollywood movie set, and more. Just $400,000.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Nope.
Here's a couple more.
Wait, we'll nope on that one?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a no for Allie,
yeah.
All right? A worldview exploration experience. This is a two-part jaunt that kicks off in Tucson, Arizona, with a three-day stay that includes a tour of the Biosphere 2. You guys know what that is. That's where the future astronauts are learning how to live.
Sure.
Like they're not on Earth. It culminates in a 2017 onboard luxury pressurized capsule strapped to a high-altitude balloon that will take you 100,000 feet from the ground with a staggering 360-degree view of Earth. That is just
$90,000. Is this the commit suicide package?
Yeah,
this is just $90,000 for people who want to get just to the edge of space.
Huh.
Now, there are people out there who would spend $90,000 to go almost into space, I bet.
I bet.
But what if it starts in Tucson?
Yeah, you do
That's
have
a
to start
city,
in Arizona.
Right? Well,
but I think you get to go
Tucson
see the Biosphere 2, which I think people would be interested.
I'm telling you, that's a terrible city.
So it sounds like you're a no on all of this.
We can talk about it.
Okay. Well, anyway, the catalog is out and is available. So if you just have so much money you just don't know what to do with it, perhaps the Neiman Marcus Fantasy Gift Catalog is for you.
If you have that much money, I'm guessing you're not up right now, though.
That's true.
Right?
Unless you've hired
other
people
up
to sleep for you.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Wow. Stuff.
Right?
Yeah. Nailed it.
Beer Mug has been using the toilet seat cover wrong his whole life,
mm-hmm.
At which point we realized that Allie has also been using it wrong.
I bet a lot of people have.
Her whole life.
Yeah.
That sounds like a breakthrough for people.
Yeah.
Al Pacino is back on Broadway, and he's got what everybody is calling a complete flop.
Mm.
That's not good, right?
No.
We have comedian Eddie Ift in studio. Very excited about that. We're going to talk about Nutscapes. Even more excited about that. And I don't know if you've seen this, but when you favorite something on Twitter, used to be a little star.
Uh-huh.
Used to be a tiny little star.
Yeah.
Just lights up. That's your favorite. Now
yep.
It's a heart, and people are losing their S.
Mm-hmm.
As well they should, by
Two
the way.
Two of those people are Bean Baxter
mm-hmm.
and Ashley Esqueda.
Two reasonable people.
Right.
Thank you, Allie,
yeah.
for that. Look, change is hard enough, but
right.
bad change is almost impossible to live through.
I'm gonna tell you something right now. When we do this segment, you're going to change your mind, Bean. Something I found out yesterday.
Oh, really?
Boom. Yes.
All right.
Are you going to blow our minds like Muggs blew our minds that one time?
Wow. I did set myself up.
Yeah,
that.
That's kind of a bad thing to say.
Just edit that in the podcast.
It's dumb.
We'll take that out.
I will not allow it.
Okay.
It's dumb and Bean will not allow it. He cares very much about this, and so much so that you will be afraid.
Yeah.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
And it's our first chance to find out what news we've missed overnight in the world of entertainment with our friend Ralph Garman stepping in for the Showbiz Beat on K-Rock. What's going on, Ralph?
Happy King Tut Day, everybody. Happy King Tut.
All right. Happy King Tut, everybody.
Yeah.
What
this
that
is the
mean?
Anniversary of what, Ralph?
Martin's song, King Tut. Don't be an idiot.
No, Kevin. On this date in 1922, King Tut's tomb was discovered.
Oh.
Of course, Kevin, by the legendary archaeologist.
Harrison Ford?
No, he just played one in a movie.
Oh.
It was Howard Carter.
Yeah,
famous
that guy.
British Egyptologist Howard Carter. And there he found it on the tomb. The most intact and well-preserved tomb in ancient Egypt history. The following inscription: death shall come on swift wings to him who disturbs the peace of the king. And he opened up the tomb. And then you know what happened.
His face melted.
He died. 17 years later. But still, the curse came true. The curse came true.
He did die.
He died. They said the wings weren't quite as swift as the ancient Egyptians imagined them to be, but fly it did. Oh, fly it did.
Where's King Tut now, Ruff?
I don't know. He was touring for a while.
Was he touring?
Yeah, he was. They had all of his like a garage sale, and all of his stuff came out of his garage, and they put it in museums and stuff, but I don't know.
I remember a King Tut tour of America and what a sensation it was. I don't remember when it was. It was a long time ago.
Huge hit. Lines around the block, people waiting to see his stuff.
It's a weird thing.
It is. So happy King Tut Day.
Kevin, would you
nope.
go to a museum to see King Tut if it were in town?
I would not.
To see the Boy King in person?
Nope. You know, you're not seeing the Boy King in person, though, B, because he's been dead for a long time.
You're seeing
his stuff.
His tomb? Yeah.
Yeah, no.
His stuff. There's a lot of stuff he had. Gold stuff.
No, that's...
Some gold stuff.
That's not for me.
It was gold. All right.
Well, you would
be. How about if it were in the conference room?
Yeah, he drives to see a concrete pecan, for God's sake. Do you think he's not going to go see King Tut's ashtray?
He was a smoker?
Oh, yeah. Big smoker.
I would go, but it would depend on the crowds. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't stand outside for 3 hours to go see it. But if it were convenient,
I'd known they'd line up just to see him, I'd take it all my money and bought me a museum. King Tut. I like that song.
I was stunned that Kevin knew that song.
I know.
Same.
How dare you?
Lil Wayne had a yard sale just like King Tut. Only no one told him about it. Well, I guess they didn't tell King Tut about it either. Miami-Dade County Sheriff's deputies showed up at his mansion in Miami Beach yesterday and just started pulling his art collection out. That's reportedly worth $30 million.
Wow.
He owes a private jet company $2 million. And so the deputies brought along an art expert to point out which pieces would satisfy that debt. So, like, pick a couple of these paintings out that add up to $2 million so we can give them to this private airline. Time for him to pony up. And apparently they did. Lil Wayne was in Los Angeles at the time when they were going through his stuff in Miami. But that's got to be disturbing when people are going through your personal belongings.
I would think so.
Here's an idea. Pay your debts. That also would help.
There's that.
Prevent that situation. And this is awesome. I love riders and demands.
Oh, okay, good.
Concert
I love
riders.
These too.
When they put stuff in the contracts for performers and say this is the way it has to be. In this particular case, according to TMZ.com, these are demands that Jay-Z and Kanye West have for hotels that they're staying in on the road. You ready?
Yep.
For JC, the thermostat has to be set at 71 degrees before he checks in. Jay-Z will not enter a room until it's 71 degrees. Make sure it's 71 before he checks in.
That kind of stuff is so weird.
Isn't that nuts?
Because it really does take, 5-10 minutes to get it, whatever temperature?
But what difference would it make if it was 73?
Zero.
Or 69?
Zero.
There must be 3 Mayan tuberose scented candles lit and working in the room before he'll enter it.
Okay.
Those candles are $80 each, by the way, if you want to pick those up in your local hardware store. He has to have his own Ace of Spades champagne in the room, but he can't be charged for the bottles.
Okay.
He owns the company. I don't see the difference whether he's taking money out of one pocket and putting it in the other, really. But and then for Kanye West, all the vases in his hotel rooms can't be any other shape but cylindrical. No square vases, no rectangular vases.
Okay.
No vases that are wider at the top and narrower at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, you don't want anarchy.
No, it's <That'd be> cylindrical only.
What do you suppose that's about?
I have no idea. I don't know what any of these are about. Any and all bathrooms in his hotel suite must be stocked with mint-flavored dental floss.
He needs a lot of floss.
He needs a lot of floss. There must be a Genelec 1031A speaker in the room.
Is that a wireless speaker?
I guess.
Huh.
Here's the problem. They stopped making those in 2005. So that's got to be problematic for any hotel he goes
to. Build it.
Right. Here's a schematic and some tubes.
Are they still making speakers with tubes? Probably not. Huh?
I don't think so.
And lastly, all the bathroom towels have to be black. Got to swap out all the towels and make sure they're black towels.
All those things, they sound like if we were sitting around trying to just be funny because they said, we'll do anything you want. Like, we would come up with stuff like that. Just like,
right.
Because it couldn't possibly be real.
I need a ticker tape. I need a ticker tape from the late 20s in my room. Wherever I go.
And one tooth, just one toothpick, not more than one.
That's right.
Drives me crazy.
And it has to have a tooth on it. Toothpick with a tooth. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our buddy Kathy Griffin celebrates her 55th birthday today. Actor Ralph Macchio, probably the second most famous Ralph, I would think. What do you think?
Well, I'd go with
Ralph Mouth.
I'd probably go with, first maybe, though.
Second.
Ralph
right?
Nader.
Okay. Ralph Nader. Okay, third.
Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
The Karate Kid.
Fourth.
54 years old today. Jeff Probst, the Probster. Probsty. The Propinator.
Nobody calls him that.
53 years old. Sean Piwa Diddy Dua Dewey Dewey Dirty Duddy Combs.
Are you not entertained?
46.
Are you not entertained?
Not so much. And Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. 46 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian Eddie Ift joins us in studio later this morning. And keep listening for your chance to win Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes. That's for Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. Get all the details at KROQ.com and win on the way from KROQ.
How many years ago was the Victor Fuentes 9/11 call?
Oh, man. Five, six? A while.
Oh, it was our favorite thing for like 2 years.
Yeah.
It's so good. He called 911.
Hello! Hello.
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me. What city?
Compton.
What is the cross street at the corner of Harris Avenue?
Alondra.
What's wrong right now?
I don't know. I just want them to take me to the hospital. And that's it.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
You're a male?
I'm a male, motherfucker. Yeah, of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to check my head or my finger because I'm kind of cut and
So we were very, very obsessed with Victor Fuentes, and we tried, as many people around the country did, to find Victor Fuentes, and it never was revealed. I mean, we hope he was real, and we hope that he's fine,
but no one
can ever find him.
Don't suggest this dude was a fake.
I know. Fell off of what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
There's too much information in this, man. Holy Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple. All right, Holmes.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no.
Okay, good.
All right,
what's your name so we know who we're looking
for? Victor Fuentes.
So we were just freaking obsessed with him. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Like Bean said, we were unable to ever find him, unfortunately. And then the Adele song came out. Hello. You've heard that, of course.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet.
By the way, number one on iTunes in more than 100 countries around the world. Set all kinds of records, over 1 million paid downloads, streaming records, Vivo video view records. It's the biggest hit in years.
I checked on Vivo last night. It's been out how long? Did you say a week?
About a week.
Over 215 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which
so
is
Adele's
insane.
Popular. And I know our listeners right now are trying to follow your timeline.
Right.
Wait, the Victor Fuentes 911 call, that was years ago, and then Adele came out last week. Why are you bringing these things up? Well, because a Kevin and Bean listener had a brilliant idea and left it on the Afro line of putting the two together.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
All right, home. I was wondering if after all these years
you'd like to
Brilliant.
So there's that, and it's brilliant, but it's only like 14 seconds long.
Right.
So we asked our man Omar, who is our production wizard, mm-hmm. to do a real version of it. And we present for you now, Adele, the Victor Fuentes mix.
16-12-1.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Victor Fuentes.
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over
what?
Everything.
Yeah.
They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
What?
I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger.
I'm 19, homeboy.
And free.
Yeah.
I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference.
Hell no.
Between us and a million miles.
Hey, too much information and shit, man.
Hello from the other side.
No.
I must have called a thousand times.
A couple.
To tell you I'm sorry.
All right, this is.
Hello from the outside.
No.
At least I can see that I'm trying to tell you I'm sorry.
All right, home.
For breaking your heart, but it don't matter. It clearly doesn't tear you apart anymore.
Yes, hey, you don't gotta bring all that siren and shit. I'm like quiet and
hello.
Hello.
DJ Omar Khan.
If you become bored with beautiful landscape photos posted all over the internet, this Huffington Post article begins, why not liven them up with some tasteful nutsacks? Nutscapes is a weirdly stunning collection of crowdsourced landscapes embellished with just a touch of male gonads. Kevin, why have you not gone out and nutscaped yet? This seems like right up your alley.
This is one of those things where you just go, who was the first person to think, I'm going to take a picture of that beautiful lake and mountain, but at the very top of the picture, I need a little of ball. I need a little ball. Like, who said that first? Because
most
they're
the
a hero.
Are not blatantly not safe for work. Rather, they show shadowy images of gangly balls dangling in front of mountains, beaches, and historic sites. It does make me want to get my car and drive to Mount Rushmore, like, immediately, just so I can take that photograph. I believe Nutscapes has great artistic depth because it touches upon both a lowbrow vulgarity and a highbrow concept, says one of the project founders, Clancy Philbrick. Simply, testies are funny. They always have been. They always will be. They add humor to subject matter, landscape photography that is typically a little dry. So we wanted to find out more about nutscaping, why we're doing it, how we're supposed to do it, and everything we need to know on the topic. And we were able to track down, believe it or not, our producer, Dave the King of Mexico, found a nutscape artist who's named Claudio Balatas, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Balatas. Thanks so much for coming on.
Please call me Claudio.
Claudio.
Yes,
okay.
Don't need to be so formal.
Okay. I don't need to be okay. So formal. Okay.
No, you
okay.
Have no need to be so formal.
Okay.
With me.
Right. So you are.
We all can be friends.
Okay.
Certainly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll decide that though.
So oh, you are already with the hostility. Not enjoying this so far. I'll tell you that much.
Well, let's hit the reset button and let's all try to get along because we are fascinated with what you are into, which is nutscaping.
Please, would not be using that name.
Don't use that name.
Nutscaping. It's so juvenile and not artistic at all.
Okay,
well,
what should we call it?
Isn't that what you're doing?
I am the creator of this art farm, and now it has been co-opted by all these people saying all these things, nutscaping.
Okay, so what is it?
I call it scrotography.
Well, I don't know why that didn't catch on. That's
what
good
it
too.
Is. I am created, so I know. It's my name. I gave it.
Now, all the right, first time you did this, what were you trying to achieve here?
Well, it was a particular moment in time when I was in hiking in the hills above my home, and I was in the wilderness, and I had to relieve my nature's duty.
Okay.
And my pants were down.
Right.
Around my ankle.
Okay. Right, we know how that works.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know how you have to take pants off for your nature's duty?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we understand that.
Too much time setting up this part of the story, Claudio.
Well, I want you to understand the process.
Yes.
And I was crouching and looking from between my legs, and I saw the beautiful vista there And I said, I must capture it.
Sure.
So I took out my camera, and I pointed the camera between legs at beautiful vista, and just a touch, just a hint of scrotum appear. And I say, oh, that is so beautiful, because there are mountains around, and then my own twin mountains also there. And they're together in one frame.
Okay, but my initial thought would have been, oh, I need to crop that out.
Well, maybe you don't have beautiful testes, but I have some beautiful testes.
Okay.
And I said, oh, the beautiful body, the human body is so beautiful. I must have including in my picture. So I have it all together, one picture. I go, snap. Just like that, snap.
Right.
And I take picture, and I look at it, and I go, oh, look at my beautiful testes. And then everyone do it, because it's beautiful.
That sounds like it was quite a moment for you, Claudio.
It was like discovering electricity, only I discovered my balls.
Right. Similar.
Now, was it just that one photo that started the whole thing? Or
no,
you know?
I start taking pictures everywhere.
I see.
Putting my sack in the picture.
Right.
And I had to quit my job, which was taking photographs of students in elementary schools.
Oh, no. Those two things should never go together, Claudia.
I started to include them in class pictures.
No, sir.
I would just bend over and shoot between my legs.
No, sir.
For the school children.
Nope.
And I lost that job.
Yeah.
Weird.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
There's some parents complaining.
Yeah.
Why
well,
are there two balls on my kid's head?
Come on. Well, it's good that you got out when you
did. Now I just do landscapes and passports.
And what?
If you need a passport photo, I can do it for you. But it looks like you're wearing a beret.
I want one of those so bad.
Shouldn't talk about it.
Song needs some double clap, I think.
You think so?
Yes.
You think every song is better with double clap?
Well, because it is.
Hey, welcome to Kevin and Beecher here on a Wednesday morning. Tough times for those of us who do not embrace change well. This has been a very difficult week for me, by the way. First of all, the stupid time change, which you know I have a lot of problems with. Then Cadbury's changed their recipe for the fruit and nut bar. As you know, you've probably been following
what
that.
What are you talking about?
After 90 years, they're swapping out the raisins they use, and that's got me all upset. And now Twitter, which really is my girlfriend, is making changes that I cannot abide by, which is that you no longer favorite things with a star. You now like things with a heart. And I've got no time for that. That's no bueno.
Do you care about anything important?
These are all very important.
It's
the combination of all of the things I mentioned plus everything else that goes on. Small things lead up to your whole life. That's what makes your whole life is all the things you come in contact with and do and think about and live in throughout the day, Kevin.
Wow.
Life isn't just all about life or death.
What happens when one of your shoes becomes untied? Do you just have to lie down and get treatment?
What do I do?
You need like an IV and some propofol? What happens when something major happens, like you stub your toe or something?
I'm not the
Bean,
only
I'll give
one.
You a perfect example is that your dad lives in Vegas and you visit him every so often. That would be a big thing. Your dad and your relationship are going to Vegas and spending time with him. On Twitter, if they change the like little star to a heart, I think you're going to be okay. I don't like it. I don't like it one little bit. But let me tell you, I'm not the only one. There is outrage online over this change.
A lot of people are mentally ill.
Well, a lot of people don't need Twitter to turn into Facebook. Twitter is different and should be
different.
It's
still Twitter. It hasn't changed to Facebook. It's the same thing.
It's changed.
What
it's
difference does it make whether it's a star or a heart?
Don't listen to me. Listen to our friend Ashley Escada, who is the senior editor at CNET and host of Tomorrow Daily. She's smart. We all like her. We respect her. Her opinions
did. We
have value.
We all thought that before.
We knew she was nuts.
Right.
And let's see what she has to say. Ashley, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Except you don't like me. You favorite me, right? I'm your favorite.
Oh, that's right. Sure. I'm not allowed. That's right.
There's no liking.
You saw the news yesterday, and you had the same reaction I did, which is stop it.
Yeah, this is Twitter really wants to bring in new users, but this type of change is sort of like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic after it sank. Wow. It's sort of a very sort of desperate move to be a little bit more Facebook-like. But the thing is I mean, I think, and I trust me, you guys, I hate to say this, but Bean's got a point.
All right. That's all we need to know.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
That view does not work out for most people.
Now we know you're insane.
Well, they don't need to be Facebook. That's the problem. It's
okay,
that,
but
you know, the reason people use Twitter is for a different. I use it for a very different reason than Facebook. Excuse me.
Right,
right.
But
so,
but aren't you still going to use it for the exact same reasons that you used it before?
Yes, and that's true. But the thing is I will probably end up using it a little bit. Actually, using it a little bit less because you know when you're like it feels very impersonal to favorite something. Like if you star something, there's not. It just feels really personal, even though it is the exact same
Hold
function.
On.
Like, I
Hold
totally
on.
Understand that.
When you click a button that makes a little cartoon heart pop up, that makes it feels personal to you?
It's too much.
Does it feel like more of a commitment? Like that
it
heart
does.
Is love? Like I am loving it now
yes.
instead of I'm just starring it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It feels very... Okay, and this is... I know it sounds really Woody Allen of me. I'm super neurotic, but it's like when you click on it and that little animation happens, I feel gross. I'm like, oh, I don't love it
oh,
that much.
Honey.
Oh,
honey.
Ashley
you
is
need
absolutely
some treatment.
Right.
No, she's not absolutely right. You're
she
right.
Is.
You said, I like this. I like this. It means I like this.
But it's a heart, so that means you love it.
Well, no, it doesn't.
Next, are they going to do horseshoes, and is it going to be, you know, clovers? Are we going to have a Lucky Charm system?
We'll pass those bridges when we get to them.
Yeah, just, that's quite a slippery slope you've painted for us right there, young lady. But listen, but what you said before when you clicked on something, it said it favored it. That means that tweet was your favorite. Mm-hmm. So then the next one you did, was that your favorite also? I mean, how many favorites can you have versus just liking something? It makes more sense.
Don't you feel though that you can favorite something ironically? Like if some jerk like says something rude to you, you can sort of favorite it, and people know that like you're kind of sticking it to them. And you can't really do that with hearts anymore. There's no fun irony in liking or hearting something that is not like is kind of dumb.
Right.
How much hate are you getting on Twitter?
A lot.
I also think
all girls have a different.
I'm a lady on the internet, Ralph.
Yeah.
I get a lot of hate.
I hear you.
But
well,
isn't there also, won't you guys also agree that there is a disconnect between the word like and the symbol heart?
I can
yes.
see that. I
that's
can
what,
see that.
Kind of what drives me crazy is because they don't mean the same thing. I feel like it's misrepresentation of the word
right.
that they're trying to demonstrate.
We knew that star equals something being your favorite. That's universally accepted.
But here's the thing.
Star.
If it was instead of the heart, which as a commitment phobe, when I first saw it, I'm like, ugh, that's a lot.
It's too strong a message.
It's too strong.
Oh,
maybe
it
maybe
is.
A thumbs up. Like, hey, thumbs up. I just liked it. But a heart, I will side with Bean and Ashley on this.
It's not a contract, Allie. It's okay. You can all move on.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It feels official.
You people need to get
it lives. Feels official.
You need
it's
real
too much
lives. Commitment and less virtual lives.
It feels like giving somebody my Letterman's jacket, and I don't like it.
Yes.
I'm not ready. Are you going to favorite things less now because of that?
Yes, because I... Like,
you'd be a lot more selective.
I'm going to have to be a lot more selective. And that's the weird thing is Twitter says that it should be the opposite way. They feel that you have very little favorites in life, but that you like a lot of things.
All right, and let me just butt in and say, who gives a crap what Twitter says about it?
I don't know. I mean, this is my job. I have to give a crap.
Well, it's just Twitter. It's just a thing with 140 characters that you put dumb jokes on.
Have either of you considered using the extension where you can switch it to any emoji that you want?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I've already saved that. I'm going to look at that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Boy, what's
Absolutely.
That? So when you click the like or the favorite or whatever, it's
a... It could be a beer mug.
Set
it
of balls.
Could be a set of balls.
Uh-huh.
It could be a hockey... Whatever you want it to be. So
that's
in
right.
your head, you are just clicking on... It doesn't make
so
a difference
So as long as
you
change the cartoon, mm-hmm. then that changes the reality of your life.
For a lot
you
of people.
Are a mental case.
No.
I'm Wow, when did this turn on me?
Well, you're the one suggesting it.
Well,
that
no,
makes a difference.
I'm suggesting it to them to make it better, but
oh,
also...
I'm sorry. Okay, let me correct myself. You two are mental cases.
But something also that I didn't notice until I actually looked at it, I was not aware that the heart exploded into, like, glitter. That's fun.
Wait, so because the heart has jazz hands,
yes,
you're in?
Yes, now I'm in. I think it's delightful.
Uh-oh. It's the end of America.
Get your flip-flop, Sally. Get your flip-flop.
All right, Ashley, let me ask you this question. So if you change it to whatever it is you want it to be when you favorite something, does the other person see that, or do they still see the heart?
Good point.
No. No, it's a browser extension that just changes your site.
So they don't know that you don't really love it.
I think you have to cancel your account. I think you just have to get off Twitter. There's no possible way you can live with this. I get it now. I see it. I understand.
I hope not.
It.
She's a great follow. Don't do it.
It's resistance is futile. Change is inevitable. I get that. But it doesn't mean I have to like it.
It doesn't mean you have to like it.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm gonna favorite it.
Ashley, you are delightful, and once again, you are on the right side of history, along with Ali and me. Follow her on Twitter, at Ashley Escada, and be sure to like her a lot, like we do. She is senior editor at CNET and the host of Tomorrow Daily. Thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon, my dear.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. So that happened.
Wow.
Right?
We used to be a great country.
Right?
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Beer mug dropped some knowledge on us in the meeting yesterday. And I never thought I would say those words. But it happened, right? You guys were there?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Define knowledge.
We'll discuss coming up just after 7 o'clock. Comedian Eddie F. joins us later as well. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday.
Earlier this morning, if you were listening, Bean went through some of the fantasy catalog from Neiman Marcus. Is it Neiman Marcus Store?
That's right.
Right.
And listener Edwin sent in this email, which I think is a great idea.
Okay.
He suggests a K-Rock fantasy catalog.
A K-Rock fantasy
maybe
catalog?
Maybe as like a charity fundraiser.
Okay.
Like the Kevin and Bean Show fantasy catalog. For example, he writes, you can spend 4th of July with Kevin and blow yourself up.
That would be a good time.
You could have lunch with Bean at IHOP. Go to Comic-Con with Ralph. Get a ride in Allie's house.
Edwin, yes.
Go to a buffet with Doto. Get a haircut from Sam the Armenian Comedian.
Oh, that one. You're taking your life into your own hands there.
See Chip play in a band and then watch the band break up. The possibilities are endless, he writes. Imagine if we put those experiences up for auction and then gave all the money to charity. It's kind of a cool idea, isn't it?
It actually is. I like it.
I mean, except if nobody would bid on the Bean IHOP thing. But other than that, I think it would be a great opportunity.
IHOP is aggressively average. I mean, it really.
What if they start making their pancakes in the shape of hearts? Oh, can you imagine? It'd be end times. Speaking of auctions, this is pretty cool. Up for auction is the cardigan sweater that Kurt Cobain wore during the taping of Nirvana's legendary MTV Unplugged special.
Ooh, that's a pretty famous piece of rock and roll clothing.
It sure is. Julian's Auctions is the name of the auction house that's putting it up on the block on Saturday as part of the Idols and Icons auction. You can go to their website to get more details. But they're assuming, estimating, that it'll go for about $60,000 is what they think this one will go for.
Wow.
Considerably more than I think Kurt paid for it.
Why?
Because it's legendary. That's why. Congratulations to Rafe Fiennes. He has been tapped to do the voice of Bruce Wayne's butler Alfred in the upcoming Lego Batman movie. Will Arnett will be back as the Caped Crusader in the film, along with Michael Cera as Robin, Rosario Dawson as Batgirl, and Zach Galifianakis apparently playing the Joker in that film. So, looking forward to that.
All right.
Chris Brown has experienced, or displayed rather, some erratic behavior recently. TMZ.com is suggesting perhaps that it's due to a drug problem. Apparently, he loves the scissorp. Mm. Which, for those who don't know, it's a little cocktail made out of, codeine and Jolly Ranchers and some soda.
Mmm.
Purple drank.
Yeah. Photographers spotted him sucking down a mysterious beverage, they're calling it, out of a double cup on a few occasions, including when he took his daughter, Royalty, to a pumpkin patch last week. And, well, you need a little scissorp to get through the pumpkin patch, don't you? Or heroin or whatever. Tough, those pumpkin patches. And they're threatening us. Mama June and Honey Boo Boo.
Nope.
Revealing on Facebook that the Klan is headed back to reality television with a new show. Now, no more details. We haven't heard anything else. But she, Mama June announced that the show is unscripted like we have always been. And thank the fans that stuck by us through thick and thin. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo was canceled, of course, after Mama June, you know, reestablished her relationship with the sex offender that molested her daughter.
Yeah, what's the status of that?
Apparently that's still a thing.
Yep, still dating.
But they're going to get a show. I don't know where and what network, what have you, but looks like they're heading back to your television screens. Good times.
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
And NBC has announced, for the second year in a row, they are going to be bringing back a Red Nose Day. Red Nose Day is a charity fundraiser that started over there in the UK, and now it's traveled over here. And for the second year in a row, NBC is going to be airing it on May the 26th. Last year, the three-hour event raised over $23 million. It was split among 12 different charities. It's a two-hour-long show. It features comedy and musical performances. And you can buy the Red Noses and put them on and help raise awareness for this charity. Which Bean immediately said, stop wearing those red noses. I hate those red noses with those hipsters wearing their noses. Don't raise any money for charity.
Patch Adams kind of ruined the delight of a red nose on a person.
Oh. Bean.
Wow, man.
I got to tell you, that's just sad.
It's harsh.
And asshole.
CBS has announced that Showtime's Twin Peaks revival will not premiere until 2017.
I'm sorry, what?
We got to wait a long time for Twin Peaks.
2017?
Yeah.
They're waiting for more cast members to die before they get this thing filmed?
Les Moonves announced the release date during a press conference about corporate earnings. He said the delay was apparently caused by working out contract details with David Lynch and others. Currently, they're filming the episodes now in Washington State, so I don't know why we're going to have to wait until 2017. It takes a long time to film those episodes. I think they're only doing like 9 of them.
Right.
God's sakes. But that's the scheduled date. So.
I feel like they could have them out by Memorial Day if they wanted to.
I'm shooting them in real time. The story takes place over a year and a half.
Okay.
We're shooting each day in a day. It's going to be worth it, I promise.
Well, thanks.
Makes a lot of sense.
David Lynch is crazy.
Dave. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matthew McConaughey is 46 years old today, as is Sean Diddy Combs.
Jeff. Every day I'm going to come to y'all with a message about how I feel.
Okay.
This is going to be about how I feel. However I feel at that moment,
okay.
I'm going to let y'all know.
All right.
So there's going to be days I feel happy, sad,
right, sad.
I'm stressed, I'm angry. So that's what it's called. The segment's going to be called How I'm Feeling.
Okay. That's what the arts are. Laughter, tears, sad, cry. Jeff Probst is 53 years old today. Actor Ralph Macchio, probably still best known as the Karate Kid. But let's not forget my cousin Vinny, right? Right? Who's with me?
My cousin Vinny.
Come on, Kevin.
With the Utes?
These two Utes.
Come on,
I'm sorry.
Kev.
Did you say Utes?
Utes. Utes, Your Honor.
Oh, youths.
That's what I said. Utes. Come on!
I didn't see it, but I want to now after that one-man play.
It's one of the best movies.
I'm not
Marissa
positive.
Tomei won an Oscar for it.
Yeah, okay.
Joe Pesci?
All right, take it easy.
Late, great Fred Gwynne?
I can't go back in time and have seen it.
Are you sure? Have you tried?
No, I'm not positive.
All right, then. And Kathy Griffin, our friend, comedian Kathy Griffin, is 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Make money.
Yeah. All right. Wow. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:07.
Beer mug.
Bean Baxter.
We're having a meeting yesterday like we do after the show where we plan what's going on in the next day's show. And somehow, out of the blue, we were disrupted in an unusual way yesterday because it was like a light bulb went off over Beer Mug's head. We were talking about something completely different, and Muggs is like, guys, I gotta tell you something. And we're like, what, Muggs?
Remind you of anybody, Bean?
No, it doesn't, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
I am very good at staying on point. So, Muggs, what was it that came into your little brain yesterday that you were so impressed by that you had to share with the whole room immediately?
Well, just recently, I found out that I've been doing something wrong my entire life, and that is...
Haven't you been doing a lot
wrong
your entire life?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. But this was one of them, and this was a milestone. I have been using the toilet seat covers in public restrooms wrong my entire life. I found out that, you know, the flap in the back, or the flap on the on the.
Yeah.
Well, I've been putting that in the back, just thinking it needs to go in the back. Just, I don't know, it just drops down and protects from, I guess, streaks. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I just recently found out that's supposed to go in the front to protect your area from touching the front of the toilet seat.
How big is your area, though? Because this this made no sense to me, because I also have been putting it in the back.
It's not a question of how big my area is. It's a question of how big the toilet seat is, because sometimes they come in all different shapes and sizes. So sometimes they're too small.
They do?
And they're mostly pretty much the same.
No,
go ahead.
They're different.
All right, go ahead.
Sometimes,
there are a lot of different shapes and sizes for toilets.
Yeah, yeah.
Moses is right.
And sometimes your area hits the front, and that you don't want that in a public restroom.
Right.
So what I would do to combat that is I would take toilet paper and drape it over the front so that would, but I realized it's built in on the toilet seat cover and it's meant for the front.
I didn't know that either.
It's pretty amazing.
That. I didn't
That's
know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did you know that, Bean?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it makes the most sense to put it on the toilet when you use it in a public restroom. But what did you think the flap was there in the back for, Allie? If you were putting it backwards, what did you think it was being used for?
They just didn't cut it off. It was like, sorry.
Wait, what? It's a manufacturing error for all of them?
You know what? Just ship it.
Just leave it.
Nobody cares.
I didn't even think about it.
It should be
Every paper toilet seat cover in your lifetime you thought was an error.
Well, that's lazy.
Oh, that is interesting. So, Muggs, I can't believe I'm about to ask you this question, but is this something you figured out on your own, or were you sharing a toilet with someone? Who pointed this out to you?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how he,
if he's been doing it wrong his whole life, what could have happened that made him finally figure it out? Unless somebody else told him.
I was scrolling through my Twitter feed and I found this article on BuzzFeed that said, it's like a life hack article or whatever,
right.
And it said.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the flap of the toilet seat cover is supposed to go in the front? I was like, what? That's
amazing. Mind blown.
Mind blown.
I'm with
you. So Muggs tells us that, and then Allie, of course, is embarrassed because she realizes her intellect is on par with beer mugs.
nobody wants that.
And then we thought, wouldn't it be interesting to open this up to our listeners about a thing that you found out late in life, say, you know, as an adult or older than you should have been to figure it out, that you had been doing wrong your entire life. Something that occurred to you or somebody pointed out to you that you had been doing wrong. Something the rest of us take for granted that seems pretty simple to figure out. For whatever reason, the message didn't get to you. And that's what we want to hear from you about at 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now. You can also text us, of course, at the number 2KROQ, 2KROQ, 25767. In that same conversation with Muggs yesterday, as we were fascinated with his him figuring that out, he told us something else that he didn't find out until fairly recently as well.
Yes, this was – sometimes you have a rental car, not your normal car, and you're like – you get to the gas pump.
Wait, so you're in a rental car but not your normal
car?
Right,
right. Just to clarify that.
All right.
And you don't know what side the gas tank is on.
Right.
And you get out and you're like, oh, crap, I got to get back in and turn around. Yeah, there's an indicator on your fuel gauge. Every car, there's an arrow pointing to the side of the gas tank where you fill up.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's probably where the little gas tank icon
yes.
is. And there's an arrow
yes.
to which side.
No idea.
So you've been turning around and backing up and then a 12-point turn trying to get in?
I've been sticking my head out the window trying to see if it's on my side or the passenger side. It's unbelievable.
I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but I think that's something that most people learn at age 16 when they get behind the wheel of a car and have to buy gas.
Not I, said the blind man.
What?
Oh, that was good.
So, have you ever been at a gas station when there's a lot of people waiting and then you realize you're in the wrong way and then you have to try and sort of block other people while you turn around?
I've been that guy and I've also seen other people do that. They have to back up.
Everyone else does that.
Right. Well, I just realized life was so hard up until I found out these awesome tips and tricks that have been there all along.
It's not a trick.
Sort of is.
It's just knowledge.
I mean, it's designed that way by auto manufacturers to make it easier for people to buy fuel. It's not a secret. It hasn't been hidden. It's not like it has to be passed down by generations.
I had no idea. I had no idea that that's what the arrow was for. I didn't even know. What the arrow was for.
What a happy day. You saw the arrow and didn't know what it was for?
You saw the arrow.
Exactly.
You noticed the arrow was there.
I thought it was just like an extra design that they put on the gauge.
Here's the gas tank. Hey, look.
Look, in case you're running low, this is where you look.
What?
Yeah, it was pretty stupid.
Well, I would have thought you didn't know it was there. That's okay, I think.
But you
saw the arrow?
I saw it, and when I found out, I was like, that's what that's for.
All right, let's take a couple calls real quick before the break. 1-800-520-1067. The topic on the table is, what were you doing wrong your whole life until you found out you were doing it wrong? Let's start with Amy. She's in Yorba Linda. She's up first. She's on line two. Mugs, you can leave and go help answer some calls, please, and we'll get some other people on the line here. Your beer mug, light bulb above the head moment. Amy, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. My light bulb was when I was arguing with my then-boyfriend, now husband. I was probably about 25 or 26. I was arguing with him, telling him he needed to compromise with me. And I said the word compromise a couple times, and then he said...
Compromise?
And then he said, do you mean compromise? And he just busted out laughing. And I said, compromise wrong until that moment.
Oh, I get it.
You said compromise your whole life?
I said compromise. Nobody corrected me. Nobody.
Amy?
Well, if we're going to use words, then Allie's got 100.
Yeah. Last week, we were talking about Monopoly and what was the best thing to use. Do you use the race car? Do you use
top hat?
And I said, well, the wheelbarrow is stupid, right? And they're like, wheel what? And I said, wheelbarrow.
Two words.
Are you aware it's called a wheelbarrow? I had no idea until last week. I've been saying wheelbarrow my whole life.
Look at that.
Amy, help me here. Amy, you said compromise.
Did you ever say compromise?
No.
Amy, how did no one say, what are you talking about earlier in your life?
I have no idea. They all knew what I was talking about, obviously.
That's awesome. Wow. All right, Amy. All right. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's do one more real quick. Let's do Alex in Downey. He's up next, line one on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hey.
You were doing it wrong your whole life until you figured it out. What was it?
So I've been pouring milk first before I actually pour the cereal food. A lot of my friends would tell me that, oh, you're doing it wrong. It's the cereal first before the milk. In case, like, you know, if you pour the milk and you don't have any cereal, you're pretty much screwed from then.
Right. Right?
Yeah.
And you were pouring milk your whole life first?
Yeah, ever since I was a little boy. And then just, like, you know, when my friends just told me, I just felt a little bit of, I felt really stupid. So I just started pouring the cereal from now
on. Well, I pour the cereal first because when you do milk first, then it splashes when you pour the cereal in. Is that what we're talking about here? Is that why cereal is first?
No, they just told me, just in case, like, if cereal runs out and you have just the milk on the bowl right there, you're kind of, like, screwed.
Because you can't pour the milk back in the carton.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. All right, Alex. I feel like you need to wear a helmet.
At 1-800-520-1067. I was doing it wrong my whole life. What?
Just an update. Alex hung up immediately when I said that.
Oh, Alex.
You hurt his feelings.
It's just a joke, Alex.
It's just cereal.
Come on.
We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Talking about things you thought or did wrong your whole life until someone pointed it out or you figured it out on your own. For instance, we heard from the 626 texting into K-Rock at the number 2 K-Rock. I just learned this year about the toilet seat covers and the gas arrow, and I'm 44. I wonder if you just learned about those listening to our show this morning.
Did Beer Mug text that?
From the 805, I was about 23 when I realized that the Underground Railroad wasn't an actual train situation, says Sarah.
Well... That must have been
a fun talk. Awesome. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go with, we got some good ones here. Let's try Chris in Long Beach. He's on line 6. Mm-hmm. I bet he's got one that some people are going to learn about right now listening to this show.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. By the way, before we move on, I would just like to put in a rule, and that is Bean, Allie, me, Chip. If we didn't know what they're talking about, we have to admit it.
Okay.
Put it out there. All right, go ahead, Chris.
All right, well, I didn't know until semi-recently that Chinese food boxes, like the small white ones with the little metal handles that they eat in movies and stuff like that, like in all these detective movies and stuff, I didn't know if you took the metal handle out, it turned into a plate.
Now, I have heard that, but I have never seen anyone use it because when I get Chinese food to bring, I usually bring it home. So I put it onto a plate. So I've never had to make a plate out of the cardboard, but I have heard that that is a thing. And I do also know that you can take the metal hooks out if you want to reheat Chinese food in the microwave. I do know that they make them so that you can take the metal part off for microwaving.
Do I have to admit if I have no idea what Chris is even talking about?
Like, you take the metal handles off, and it goes down into an actual plate.
You unfold like the box that the Chinese food is in. Yeah. So, all right, that's a good one. Okay. Thank you, Chris. Right. Appreciate that.
You okay, Kevin?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try. Is it Tarek? Tarek on line one? What do you guys guess that name is?
Close enough is what that name is.
What is your name, Tarek?
It's Tarek.
Tarek.
Tarek. Okay, go ahead. What did you learn late in life?
All right, so pretty recently, months ago, I said espresso, and they said, what did you say? I said espresso. You want some espresso?
Right.
You mean espresso? Espresso. And so apparently that's not the case. It makes total sense because express, quickly.
Right. Right. We understand that word.
Not so much.
I bet that is a fairly common mispronunciation.
I hear it all the time.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No shame in that game, Tarek. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. There is some shame in Vivian's game, though. She's in Paramount. She's on line three, and she is preparing to be humiliated on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Vivian.
Hi.
Things you've been doing wrong your entire life.
Well, only since I've been cooking, I would say. But I didn't know that the drawer below the oven was a broiler, something that actually warms up your food. I thought it was just a drawer to hold trays and pots and pans.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that...
Same.
Same.
Yeah. I kept sweaters in there.
Sweaters? Yeah.
During college, there wasn't a lot of space. So when my mom came to visit, I said, oh, grab it from the drawer under the oven. She's like, the broiler?
You mean the broiler?
I'm like, call it what you will, but grab the sweater. Vivian, what's wrong with us?
Wow.
How did you find out, Vivian?
A friend of mine was like telling me a recipe and what she was doing, and then she told me she used the broiler, and I said, oh, well, I don't have a broiler. And she said, yeah, you do. It's the drawer that's underneath your oven. I was like, that is a working mechanism. I thought that was just the whole stuff.
Well, I mean, it does hold stuff as well in your defense.
Yes.
Sure. All right, Vivian. Okay. Great call. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that. All right. We got time for a couple more, Kevin. Who do you like here?
Not Ryan. Anybody but Ryan.
Let's go to Ryan. He's up next. He's in East L.A., line 7. Ryan, thank you for calling. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Hey, what up, guys?
Hey!
What's up, everybody?
Yes?
Anyway, so I found out kind of late in life you're supposed to wipe your butt from front to back, not back to front.
Not back to front?
Okay, I'm trying to visualize here. And tell me the light bulb moment. Like, how did it come up, and why was it explained to you differently than you'd been doing?
Just a random conversation.
What kind of conversations are you having?
Deep, intense, intimate conversations.
Let's talk about butts, Ryan says.
Well, I will say at the lady doctor, when you have to give a urine sample, there are explicit directions of wiping.
Explicit. Allie, explicit.
What did I say?
Sorry, I was making an espresso joke. Go ahead.
I hate you. You're supposed to wipe from front to back. So, I mean, I'm not apparently saying you have a vagina, Ryan, but it's same for ladies.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Toby on line 4. What the hell is Toby talking about in Los Angeles?
Hey, Toby, what are you talking about?
Hey, guys. So, in fairness, this is from a TED Talk that I just recently saw.
A TED Talk? So you learned from a TED Talk?
I learned a ton of stuff from the TED Talk, man.
Okay, go ahead.
But anyways, so apparently everyone I know, is tying their shoes incorrectly.
Tying your shoes incorrectly?
Yeah. So the speaker starts off, and he ties his shoes like pretty much all of us do, right? Where you've got the two strings, then you tie the little knot, then you make a bow with one, and then you've sort of got a string with the other.
How are you not already out of that TED Talk by that moment? Honestly, like, that seems dull.
I mean, you do have the rest of the internet available to you, right?
The juice is worth the squeeze. I promise. Hold on. So then you know, typically people will then pull that string part up over the loop part and then tie the two together, right? And then boom, you've got your tied shoe. Apparently, the problem with that way of doing it is that when you put stress on the knot, that makes it a looser knot so that the bows are now going kind of up and down on your foot. Whereas if you would tie the knot,
like normal. And then when you bow with the one, if you tie the string underneath the bow part first and then pull it taut, it goes from side to side. It's really hard to do.
There's nothing we can do if the phone's ringing. I'm so sorry. Thanks for the call.
Google.
Just heard from a Kevin and Bean listener, Olivia, who is 48 years old, has been driving since she was 17, and did not know until Beer Mug mentioned it on the air 20 minutes ago about the little arrow on the gas tank on her car to tell her which side of the car the tank is on. So she learned a little something listening to the show.
But if I could give some advice, don't tell people the Beer Mug part of it.
Right.
That's right.
Just act like you knew it.
Exactly.
Boom.
A lot of people learning stuff from Beer Mug this morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
This
gas tank thing, guys?
That's crazy.
I mean, I'm getting so many emails. I got an email from a guy who's owned 24 cars in his life, has never noticed that little arrow before.
Yeah, people are dumb.
Well,
I think we're finding out.
Something that people perhaps needed pointed out to them by somebody at some point in their life, I think, is all.
But when you get in the car the first time when you're 16 years old, they say, here's the turn indicator. You use this switch to show which way you're going.
Right.
Here's the speedometer so you see how fast you're going.
Right.
Here's
right.
the gas gauge so you see how much gas you have. And then that little pump, the little gas pump right there, the arrow points to it so you know always what side your gas cap is on.
Yeah. If somebody points that out to you, then you know it. But if somebody doesn't.
Right. If someone like never pointed out to you where the turn indicator was, would you just drive around willy-nilly changing lanes without ever letting everybody know?
Well, you'd roll down your window and go, look out!
But then just one of them would say, what side is my gas tank on? People randomly at gas stations.
I think I found that thing out about the arrow about 4 or 5 years ago, probably. I didn't know that.
Because most cars didn't have it back in the day.
Right. Okay. Good. Right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Coal burning cars. I had a wood burning car myself. One of those Ben Franklin potbelly cars.
Well, anyway, the point is a lot of people learning a lot of things on the Kevin and Bean Show. And that is very unusual. Not the position we usually find ourselves in doing this show. That's for sure. Eddie Eft, one of our favorite comedians, joins us in studio in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And don't forget, keep on listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to hook you up once again with a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes. Very disturbing news out of Broadway right now with this new Al Pacino play. Have you guys heard about this? China Doll is the name of the play?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard there's trouble. Yeah.
We don't do a lot of Broadway news here on the show, but with a star the magnitude of Al Pacino, who's been very successful on Broadway in the past, and in a play written by his friend David Mamet, who's one of the great American playwriters, apparently it is – playwrights, I guess they're called – it really is a disaster. It's gone so far as to say at intermission there is a stampede to leave the theater.
Oh, no.
But wait, you said David Mamet was one of the most successful. Is this just a – just apparently a swing and a miss?
Apparently, it is not good. And, you know, when David Mamet writes a play, you're not allowed to change a word. He's one of those guys who just, you know, he does not take advice from others. This is how he wants it to be, and this is how it is. And Al Pacino is having a lot of trouble on stage remembering his lines. And apparently, it is just a very unsatisfying evening at the theater. So we thought, you know what? That's what the critics are saying. The critics hate everything. Let's go to our friend Al Pacino and find out what it's like from his perspective. And he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Pacino.
Oh, Kevin and Bean.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Now, did you hear us describing the play was having trouble and people are leaving at intermission? Is that accurate?
Oh, I heard.
Yeah.
I heard what you were saying.
Is it accurate, yes. though? Is it?
Come on now.
Right.
This is me we're talking about.
So it's not you so are, people aren't leaving.
I don't mean to brag, but come on now.
Right. But so people leave.
I think I've proved myself as a pretty good actor.
Yes.
Agreed.
One of the greatest actors of all time.
A pretty good career.
Right.
Right.
So to hear these slanderous comments about me and my work. It hurts my feelings. Wow.
The exodus at intermission is practically a stampede, and sources say some have angrily demanded refunds, Al.
Those son of a bitches.
What about the
part? You
know
what really hurts?
Yes, tell me.
People saying that I don't know my lines.
Yeah, that you forget your lines. You need a teleprompter.
Come on now.
I read.
Okay. With the teleprompters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look. A lot of actors use teleprompters. A lot of singers do, too, if there's a lot of dialogue to remember. It's understandable at your age, Al.
Listen, let me tell you, too, something. my two friends, Line.
Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean! You guys
right.
have been friends of mine for a long time.
Thank you,
I'd like
Alec.
To think so, Al.
Can you imagine that me doing a play on, Line?
Broadway.
Right.
That I wouldn't know every single line. Ooh, I mean, this play, Line?
China Doll.
China Doll is one of the best things I've ever read from David Mamet. Daniel, what?
You just,
David Mamet.
You just said his name.
He or she is a great.
It sounds like you're having trouble remembering your lines even now in this conversation.
That is a lie. And if you, who are these guys?
Kevin and Bean,
I will sue you.
Friends of the actor say they've never seen him so despondent. He sits in his dressing room after the show, totally lost.
That
hurts.
That's not true. I can't find my dressing room. I'm still looking for it. Where's that dressing room?
It's back there.
All right. I know where it is now.
It's back there.
Yeah.
All right, so things are going... This is exaggerated. Things are going fine.
I haven't had this much fun since that movie I made. What was that movie?
The Godfather?
Oh, no. The other one.
Scarface?
No. With the... With Adam Sandler, where he was twins.
What?
Little Nicky. No, I wasn't in that, was I?
I don't think you were.
All right, what was the other one I was in? The Deer Hunter. Was I in that?
I don't think you were in that.
Oh, holy crap! Somebody name a movie I was in.
How about the Dog Day Afternoon?
Oh no, I wasn't in that one.
Yes, you were.
Smokey and the Bandit. Ooh,
you weren't in that.
Jaws.
You weren't in that.
Apocalypse Now.
By the way, whoever is giving you the line said the Godfather. No.
What about Scent of a Woman?
Mamma Mia.
Oh,
what? No.
Somebody look me up on IMDb.
7:52, Eddie Eft joins us just after 8. Here's Ralph with the showbiz beat.
Maybe there's a new segment. Beer Mug schools you. Or Beer Mug comes in every week and drops some knowledge
explains
on us.
Things. That's Beer right. Mug explains things.
Yeah. Heads up, Friday night. Improv on Melrose. The Late Show. Kevin Smith and I bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Hollywood. There's only one Babylon show in the month of November. If you wanted to check us out this month, this is your chance. It's going to be happening this Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your tickets and more information. Love to see you come out. So that's a maybe?
It's a beautiful rejection.
It really is. It is, as we mentioned earlier today, King Tut Day. So happy King Tut Day, everybody. How do you celebrate? How do you celebrate the anniversary of the finding of King Tut?
Take a long nap.
Tutankhamun's tomb.
I don't celebrate that.
You don't celebrate Tutankhamun?
I don't know.
King Tutankhamun?
No, I don't.
Ralph, at the risk of being yelled at for asking you more information than you have available at your fingertips, where did they find King Tut's tomb?
They found it in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And it had it was underneath a pyramid, or
it was.
I don't remember any of the details.
It was. And famed British Egyptologist Howard Carter discovered the entrance to that tomb. It was, to date, the most intact and well-preserved tomb he had ever run across. And before he pierced the entrance, he did decode the engraving on the exterior of the tomb, which read, "Death shall come on swift wings to him who disturbs the peace of the king."
And then
it didn't stop him.
And then he went right on?
He went right on in. He said,
Because he was racing with the he was racing with the Germans to try and get there first, because the Germans were trying to get there and find it first.
You're
Is that
thinking
right?
of Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think.
Yeah, they were racing.
This was in 1922. This was before the Nazis.
Oh, that was before. Okay.
Before the Nazis. All right, yeah. But he should have listened to that curse because, as I mentioned, he did enter the tomb, discovered Tutankhamun there, and then he did die.
Wow.
17 years later, at the age of 66, he did pass away. So that curse of the pharaohs is for real, yo.
It sounds like it.
And then, of course, 1923 is when he recorded this song. Remember?
Now, when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. How'd you get so funky? Did you do the monkey?
True. Is that factually accurate? He was born in Arizona?
He was born in Arizona. Flagstaff, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
Then moved to Babylonia.
Remember in the 40th anniversary of SNL when they did 2 seconds of that?
Yeah, that bummed me out. I wanted
like,
to see
really?
More.
2 seconds?
Yeah, that bummed me out. Got a condo made of stoner.
It's a pretty good song.
Great song. All right, let's get to the show business news. Bindi Irwin is one of the stars of Dancing with the Stars. She, of course, the daughter of legendary Australian Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. She has the best boyfriend in the world. She's just 17 years old, but she's found her true love because this guy is for real. Chandler Powell is his name. And she has been dancing so hard, rehearsing so hard, that her toenails are popping off.
What?
Yeah. So Chandler got the idea to super glue her toenails back onto her feet. So he came to her rescue by super gluing her toenails back onto her toes.
Is that a thing we should do?
That's love right there. That's love. Could you do that? Would you super glue someone's toenails back on their toes?
No. I don't think he's supposed to do that.
Because maybe that wouldn't go well.
Because they're going to grow, and they can't grow with that glued on.
Or can they?
I don't know.
Are you a footologist?
No.
Well, then I don't want to hear you.
I am.
Are you a footologist?
Yeah, it seems like that would be bad. Okay. Back to you.
Thank you. That's your medical opinion?
Yep.
Hey, Jon Stewart's back in the show business.
All right.
Why'd he wait so long?
You know, hasn't he been retired about a month?
He has, but now he's back to work. He has just signed a big contract with HBO to produce topical videos for the network's streaming services and apps, HBO Now and HBO Go, along with other platforms. It's a 4-year deal, which includes the possibility of more traditional TV projects as well. So we may see him soon. That'd be pretty cool if he got his HBO, his own HBO show.
I'd like that.
He said, appearing on television 22 minutes a night clearly broke me. I'm pretty sure I can produce a few minutes of content every now and then. So apparently he's looking to get back to work.
Have you seen his post-retirement beard? Have you seen what he looks like lately?
I have not.
Looks like Saul Berenson from Homeland. It's
oh,
crazy.
Really?
It's the same guy that we used to see on TV.
That's crazy.
You seen Letterman?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it with these guys in their beards?
I don't know. Letterman's straight up homeless.
I guess they have to shave every weekday of their 40-year television career, and then when they don't have to, they really embrace that and enjoy it.
Don't we all sort of have to shave every day?
Pretty much.
As men, don't we just, unless you don't, you have a beard. But most men shave every day.
But Kevin's right, though. Letterman's beard looks like they found him under a bridge.
Yeah, it looks like he has ticks or fleas or something. Things are growing and living in there.
Maybe even hummingbirds.
Maybe even a small bird or two. And speaking of retirement, Phil Collins has announced he's coming out of retirement. Woo! Woo! Woo!
How? This was surprising news
because
we've heard so long that he was physically crippled from all the years that he drummed.
Right.
And that he lost his voice and couldn't sing anymore. And he basically said, I will never perform again.
Well, he's recording a new album.
Well,
he's
this is going to suck if both are true.
He's going out on tour, no longer in retirement. And almost immediately after he announced it, a petition appeared on change.org to keep Phil Collins in retirement. Ryan P. of New York City has filed a petition with change.org, and he's petitioning the United Nations to keep Phil Collins from performing again. Phil Collins has announced he is no longer in retirement, says the letter to the UN. There is far too much suffering in the world as it is. This must be stopped. As of last night, there are only 459 supporters who have signed the petition. But you can go to
change.org. How many signatures force him into retirement, do you know?
I don't know what the magic number is. But
What is, let's go around the room real quick. What's your current relationship with Phil Collins music?
My current relationship?
Lover.
Are you an easy lover?
Ooh, nice. For instance, would you ever listen to an album by Phil Collins? Are you at that point where you could still, in 2015, pull out a record and put it on and listen to a Phil Collins album?
You can all answer that for me. I'm going to let the rest of you talk. Ralph?
A whole album? No, I don't think so.
Allie? I'm a no. How about you, Allie?
Nah.
No.
All right.
Chip?
No.
If a Phil Collins song comes on the radio, will you listen to it?
Oh, I'll sing along, sure.
It depends on the Phil Collins song, I guess.
Yeah.
Take a look at me now. I will sob in my car.
You're still down with Against All Odds?
I will cry in my car like you read about. Yeah. Just to put myself to
sleep. That's a pretty good
one. I can't think of, I mean.
I like In the Air Tonight, but that's also, I've heard it a lot.
Yeah,
I'm way over In the Air Tonight.
All right. Take it easy.
Sure. I mean, and some of them, like Susudio, is still awful.
Yeah.
Well, that was
awful. You Can't Hurry Love, I can't listen to.
Right.
Against All Odds, though. You listen every time.
What about
That is maybe his best work, I think.
Yeah, he peaked.
Today's celebrity birthday is Matthew McConaughey. He's 46 years old today, as is Sean Piwa Diddy Dua Diddy Dum Diddy Doo Combs, 46. Jeff Probst is 53. Ralph Macchio, 54 years old today. Disturbing number of people have not seen My Cousin Vinny, by the way. Christine, who works in the office, hasn't seen it either.
What?
It's unacceptable.
How is that?
We're
going
to screen it.
Okay.
Right now.
Right now?
I'm bringing in a projector.
All right.
We're going to throw it up in IMAX.
Okay.
And Kathy Griffin's 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Would that be a final decision on the hair, Eddie? is that your final answer? Like, you're
he
cool?
Does look like he just came in from being mugged.
This is what I want. I want to present myself this way.
My wife said to me as I was leaving, I said, hat.
Ex-wife. By the way, now your ex-wife.
Hat, no hat.
That hair.
Hat, no hat.
And she goes, no hat. It's worse. And this horrible mustache that's going on. Last night I was just shaving and I didn't take the mustache off as a joke. She goes, keep it. And I'm pretty sure it's just another reason why she doesn't have to have sex with me.
She's just trying to push you away.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Baby was number one, mustache number two.
Hair number three.
Trying to find reasons.
You do look terrible if that's the goal.
I mean, if that's what you're shooting for.
I feel terrible.
Good.
I do.
Eddie Ift is here. He'll be playing the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. By the way, tickets available right now, improv.com. How old's your baby now, by the way?
My baby is 10 months old, and I still...
Are you over it?
I think, what's the limit on abortion? 2 years?
No, I don't think that's...
No, I think it's before they're born.
No.
Oh. Yeah. I think you're past that already. So.
Oh, wow. I made a
retroactive
mistake.
Abortion.
I thought I got to wait.
Yep. Is it still a delight every day that you can't wait to wake up to, or are you living in a nightmare now?
I was talking to Psycho Mike yesterday, and he gave me the best statement I've ever heard about having a child. He said it's the best worst thing in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because it's like amazing, but it's also horrendous. I flew back from Pittsburgh 2 days ago with my baby.
Uh-huh.
And if there was a way to open the emergency exit and put a parachute on her and toss her out, she would have gone.
For people who get annoyed when they see a kid on the plane, describe what the parent is feeling when they get on the plane with their own kid.
Well, I pre-apologize. I walk down the aisle just going, I'm sorry. We had to. UPS wouldn't take her. I'm sorry. I've heard of people that hand out earplugs and alcohol.
Gifts.
And that's a good thing to do. I think planes should have crying rooms like churches do, where like the back of the plane is like, hey, you can fly back here and there will be going to be babies there. So this is your choice if you can't afford an expensive ticket, or you can go on AirTran, you know.
And people should know, by the way, the reason you had to fly with your baby is because this wasn't just you on the road for a gig. You were, I assume, visiting family, right?
Yeah, it was family.
Because that's where you're from.
Yeah.
So here's my question to you about the babies on the plane. I feel like
Not me, because I love all kids.
Sure.
Everybody knows that.
Right.
But I feel like some people are giving the stink eye to the parent if they – I feel like they cut the parent a break if they feel like the parent is working hard to keep that kid quiet. But if the parent is ignoring that kid or not making any effort to stop that kid from screaming, I think that's when they start having bad thoughts toward you, the parent.
Right. So they all felt bad for my wife, but me sleeping. There were people threatening my life. There was one point where I handed the baby to my wife, and I go, I'm out. We have to get a divorce over this. I'll do it.
I need an app right now.
At some point, there's just nothing you can do if the kid is fussy, right?
Yeah, it's
nothing.
Having a baby is apocalyptic. It's people don't tell you about it. Like, no one told me about meconium. Do you know about that?
I don't.
What's that?
I didn't know either. The first time the baby goes to the bathroom, it's got a name. How many dumps have a name? Three, and they're none of them are good.
Okay.
Diarrhea, constipation, meconium. Meconium looks like the BP oil spill, okay. and it doesn't stop. And it, I was changing the diaper when it happened, and I'm wiping.
I don't feel like we want to hear this.
Okay.
Think we can pretty much.
Well, I screamed so loud in the hospital that the nurses came in, and they were like, "What's happening?" I'm like, "We're going to be rich." I thought that there was like oil. Like, I thought.
We've struck oil!
I really thought. I just, every part of this has just been not what I thought it was. I'm not going to lie. I love the baby now.
Right.
But I didn't at first because it was a stranger. But
do you refer to it as it still?
No, she's now.
Okay.
She's awesome.
Oh, you're going to name her one of these days? It's going to be so awesome.
Well, we are. We're looking in books. I want to name her something weird now. So I'm thinking like.
Yeah, you're a celebrity. You have to.
I'm thinking like Stephanie or Lisa or Karen or Jan. Because everyone.
It's pretty weird.
Now it is. Because everyone's going for like the strangest. This is my baby tree bark. So I want something like. No, we named her Izzy.
Izzy, that's not bad.
Yes, it is, when her last name is Ift.
Mm.
But it's short for, like, Isidore or Isabella, right?
Isidore. That's the name? Last name I would have gone for.
Isidore is a name?
Of course it's a name.
It is? Isidore?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real legitimate name.
Yes. Short for Lakeisha.
Her name's just not Izzy.
It's, yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, it's Isabel. It's Isabel. Oh. Yeah. Isabel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had you had the hair and the mustache though, back then, you wouldn't have had a baby.
No. I think
that's the greatest birth control gift to woman right there.
I think that's what my wife's doing. It's just the way that I'll never cheat. There's no possibility of it happening.
Now, what are you going to do, Eddie, in about, and Kevin, you'll have to tell me if my math is off here, but in about a year when Izzy is growing up now and is big and is starting to walk and is no longer an infant, when your wife says, "We got to have another one."
I talked to Dr. Drew about how I get rid of it.
Right. Go to Dr. Drew and have your prostate removed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to have to do. But then you shoot air?
Well, I mean, that was the joke, but I don't think there's anything.
Nothing.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get my prostate removed.
Okay.
All right. Because I've heard about the vasectomies.
Yeah, you can have a vasectomy.
I've heard the vasectomies where they reconnect.
That happens.
Ah!
But that's why they have you come back in like 6 months.
No, I don't need operated on down there twice in a row.
For a trial run.
Eddie is saying is forget the vasectomy because there's a chance to reverse that. Go with the prostate removal because there's no coming back from that.
Condoms are sounding amazing right now. I might just go with those for a while.
There you go. Eddie Eft is here, Hollywood Improv. How long has it been, by the way, since you've been to the Improv?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I've been on the road. They've been sending me around this country and around other countries. I was in Norway, Denmark, Australia. And so it's good to be back in the United States. And it's very good to be back in L.A. So I can't wait to do this show because I've been in some scary places.
Tickets are on sale right now, improv.com. Just $15 to see the great Eddie Eft at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. More with Eddie right after this on K-Rock. Hey, our friend Eddie Eft in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very famous and funny comedian. You can see him on stage at the Improv in Hollywood this Saturday night. Tickets are available now, improv.com. Eddie, we got a bunch of stuff we want to talk to you about, but in the next segment, we do a bit where listeners call in and they talk about any topic. They call in and bring up stuff on the show or ask questions or talk to us about whatever's on their mind. We call it What's Good.
And we're opening up the phones for that right now. And I want you to stick around and help us make it a celebrity edition of What's Good Today.
Sounds so dangerous.
It is.
We never know what they're going to call about, but it does end up being entertaining, we think.
So you can call on any topic or question or comment, whatever you've got. If you want to be a part of the Kevin and Bean Show, call us right now, and Eddie is going to sit in on that at 1-800-520-1067. You mentioned you're back in town, you're excited to be home, and you've been traveling, it sounds like, in some pretty fun parts of the world, though.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them are fun, some of them aren't.
I love Scandinavia, and Bean, you got to go to Norway and you know, places like that.
Is that fun?
Well, that's because Bean fits in there.
Right.
That's totally him. It's just like everything. It's the closest thing to Nazi Germany that there is.
How dare you? They're wonderful people.
They are wonderful, but everything's like, it's all white people, and they're just perfect, and like, they do everything right, and their schools
are good. They're very clean,
and
they're very polite.
Their healthcare's good.
I feel like maybe Salt Lake.
I feel like maybe you wouldn't fit in there.
It is very Salt Lake-ish.
I feel like maybe you wouldn't fit in there well doing your comedy.
A guy tried to kill me there in Denmark. He threw a bottle at my head. Then he threw a second bottle at my head. And then I was laughing, kind of running away from him. And I got, as I was like looking for a taxi to kind of get away. Well, I first said,
outside
of the gig.
Oh, this wasn't on stage?
No. That stuff.
Because that I understand.
That's what you deserve.
Those are knives. I said to the people, can you call 911? There's a crazy man chasing me. And everyone looked at me like, what's 911? Because it's probably something different. But they were like, we don't really have police. We don't need them. And this guy.
You begged to differ at that moment.
Then one guy comes up to me, and I'm kind of wandering around trying. He went to another trash can to get another bottle. And I'm trying
to. He was reloading.
Yeah, he was. And I'm trying to, like, find a way out of this area that I'm in. And all of a sudden, some guy walks up to me, polite me, and he goes, hey, you know that guy that was throwing bottles at you? And I go, yeah. He goes, he's coming at you with a flasker. And I didn't know what a flasker is, but I think it's like a broken bottle.
Okay.
Where he's going to stab me with it.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, thanks for telling me. I run and jump in a taxi. And there was a comedian with me. Carmen Lynch was with me. So that she could verify this whole thing. And we jump in this taxi. It was like Homeland. I'm like, get down! Get down! And we dive in the taxi and like, go, go, go! And the taxi driver's like, what? And I tell him the story. And after I finish the story, he's like, nah, that didn't happen.
The taxi driver denied
like,
your story?
He's like, this is Denmark. We don't have crime. And I was like, the homeless guy. He's like, there aren't homeless. This is Denmark. We take care of our – I'm like, well, one sneaked in because – and he found me and he heard what I've done in Venice because he's after me. He asked me for a light and I thought he was asking for money and I did the I didn't want to like say it, and I went, you know, and he went, what, you think you're better than me? And I went, no.
Whoa, it's on.
And then the bottle came at my head, and then the second bottle, and then the third one that was broken that he was running at me with.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean.
That's terrifying, by the way, that story, Eddie.
Yeah, but it's like everywhere I go, it's like I have this thing.
Well, I mean.
I can't get eye contact with anyone. There was a woman outside.
You look like a guy who should be avoided.
I'm that guy that people are afraid of. Like, they look at me and go, don't get eye contact with him. But apparently the other crazies are like, let's lock eyes and let's go.
Is there a time limit? Like, if you lock eyes for, like, more than a second and a half?
It's a second, and then it's like, they're like, I'm on meth, you're on bath salts, let's go.
What is this? You mentioned off the air. And by the way, this is Eddie Aftar on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to be taking your calls coming up in the next segment. If you want to call on any topic, 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. You mentioned off the air briefly that one of the most famous restaurants is in Copenhagen?
I think it's the number one restaurant in the world right now. And it's called Noma. And it's in this place called Christiana Freetown, which is, when they say Freetown, it's like their Venice Beach or their, I don't know, Amsterdam. It's where all the pot is. And you're like allowed.
Is it free?
It's not free, but you're basically free to do anything you want there.
I see.
And except for take pictures of them, because that's what they got mad at me for. But
making friends all over the world.
They
chase you?
They have like a five.
You got chased in Amsterdam for taking pictures of the hookers behind the red glass, the red lights.
I need to tell you what I did there.
Yes,
I was window shopping. All the prostitutes stand in these windows. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept going down the lane. And at the time, I had a girlfriend. And I'm asking them just questions. I'd go, how much for me? $50. How much for me and her? $50 each. How much for me to do this? How much for me? And I just kept trying to see how far I could push it. I'd be like, how much if I bring a mule in? You're going to ride the mule around the room. I'm going to make coffee. You're going to froth it. You know, then we're going to do a game of Trivial Pursuit. You know? And the girl would look at me and be like, $50. And finally, I go to one girl. I go, how much if I want to just come in and cry?
Oh.
And she goes, go away. You're weird.
That's
wow. This is an Amsterdam hooker telling you you're weird.
Yeah. Well, they thought I went to that place
the
where.
The mule, fine. We'll consider it. No, thank you.
I've been to those brothels where Lamar Odom had his problem.
You have? Okay.
Really? Oh, yeah, yeah. I like to basically bar hop brothels. Well, like in up where the Bunny Ranch is and all those places.
Yeah.
They, in all of the brothels, they have bars. Like you go in, they have a bar and you get a drink. And then they bring the women out in like a lineup and you pick which one you want, or you can take a tour of the brothel, which is like a double wide trailer. So it's not much of a tour. And they take you around and they're like, and here's the hot tub. And you're like, I don't need to have a disease that's never been named. but they show you all around the whole thing. So I found out that you can go to each one and they give you a free drink. And then they do the lineup, and you can just say no. And I was like, you know, my alcoholism is worse than my sex addiction.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to just keep going to the brothels. So I went, there's a whole bunch of them.
Well, how many are there? I mean, did you just start repeating?
It's a whole street full of them.
Oh.
And I went in, and like some places they have like – they all have like a wall of like toys that you can buy. And I remember one of them had like every kind of vibrator in the world. And they had an eye patch in the corner. And I was like, I want the eye patch. I want
that's the right
eye
choice.
Patch.
That's the right
and
choice.
And they're like, why? I'm like, I want to do it like a pirate. I wanted to be in there just going, arr! Or just act out like a Johnny Depp movie in the room with the girl and have her come out. Like, he's really weird. But I asked one of the girls, they had a thing called, they had a menu at the one place, and you order off the menu, and there's like ebony and ivory, or salt and pepper, they called it, where you get one black girl, one white girl, everything you could ever imagine is on this menu.
Okay.
But at the bottom, they had anything goes.
That was one of the listings?
One of the listings, and okay. It was, I think it was like $3,500 for anything goes. And I was like, anything? And she's like, anything. I'm like, anything? She goes, anything. I go, can I chain you to my bumper and drive back to Lake Tahoe? And without even blinking, she goes, that'll be $10,000.
Oh. It's not the first time she heard that.
You can't make them laugh. I tried. These women have heard everything. And they're like, no, no. Not
that
anything.
Is awesome. All right.
They're
we got to take a quick break.
Prepared for comedy. At that time.
By the way, $10,000 also to do you while you have that mustache and that hair, Eddie. Eddie F. is here, improv.com, Saturday night. Tickets available right now. We'll take your calls for Eddie or for us or for Allie, for any topic, sports, TV, whatever's on your mind. Give us a call. Be part of the show. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. And it's time for your calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. It's a feature that we do when we have time that we like to call What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Our friend Eddie Ift is here with us today as well. Let's start with
if Eddie tries to show you any photos, don't look.
Don't look at any photos on his phone.
Do not let Eddie show you photos.
Nathan in Glendale, Kevin, let's take care of a little bit of old business. He disagrees with some advice that we gave a caller yesterday on What's Good, and he wants another shot at it.
All right, Nathan, what's up? What's good?
Hi there. I'm calling regarding Ali's suggestion of the machete order of the Star Wars series.
All right, so this was a guy called up and said he hadn't seen any of the Star Wars movies. So, preparing for the one that comes out in December, which one should he watch and in what order?
Did he call from Afghanistan?
There's shockingly a lot of people. And I said go in the order in which they were released or do something called the machete order, which gives you the order and says Phantom Menace, skip it altogether. And you disagree with that?
Well, that machete is better served for your at-home lobotomy, Allie. Please. Episode 1 is the best of the entire series for several reasons.
Okay. Wait, the Phantom Menace is the best?
You're looking at the best villain slash the best lightsaber battle in the entire series with Darth Maul, Qui-Gon Jinn, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. No better choreographed lightsaber battle happens through the entire series than that. Okay. Secondly, pod racing. There is nothing like pod racing throughout the entire series that compares to how incredible that was. Okay. Third, Liam Neeson is killed in the film. When do you ever get to see Liam Neeson's character killed in a film?
That is a good point. And Liam Neeson is on my top five list of men. That's why it pains me to say Phantom Menace sucks balls.
It's a terrible movie.
It's terrible.
Look, there may be characters you like. There may be moments you like. But can you honestly hold up Phantom Menace up against Episode 4 of New Hope and say it's better? Honestly?
What's the one reason that you're talking about? Jar Jar Binks, right? Let me guess. It's because everyone hates Jar Jar Binks.
Well, that is one thing. Yeah.
And the whole story is a boring story about trade agreements.
Wow. Okay, look.
My sentiments exactly.
Jar Jar Binks, little do you all know, is the first entirely CG character ever created in movie history.
And right. It doesn't make him not annoying as F, though.
Nathan, let me ask you a question. What is the temperature right now in your mother's basement where you are?
Nathan sounds like a good guy, just totally misguided.
Nathan is like Sasquatch. He won't meet a person that actually likes this movie. Nathan is allowed to like
Star Wars. He's just not allowed to like Phantom Menace. We're glad you're listening. We're glad you called, sir. Thank you very much for the time. All right, let's try Chris. He's in Pico Rivera. He's up next. 1-800-520-1067. Chris, you're on with Kevin, Bean, Allie, and Eddie Eft. What's good?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Eddie, what's up with the Bengal bus?
Oh,
I haven't heard of that. Are you going to be taking it down to the Improv?
We will try to take it. We do take the Bengal bus a lot to the Improv and do a lot of interviews. We've had some great ones. We had Mariel Hemingway on the Bengal bus the other day.
What?
We had Mariel. Mariel Hemingway. I drove it to Mariel's house, and we did the show out of Mariel's front, like right in front of her house with Mariel Hemingway. That one's on
right
now.
That was always your dream of why you wanted the bus.
Really?
Yeah, and we had Tom Green last week. We had Joe Rogan. We've been getting great guests on the Bengal bus. We had the cast of Jackass. But on the way, Mario lives kind of up in the hills. Something happened to the engine, and now there's white smoke coming out of the back that apparently, and that's not from Tommy Chong being on it.
Oh, that's a shame.
And they're saying that it's we might have cracked a head gasket. I don't know cars. I couldn't even open the hood to show them.
Wasn't this a brand new bus you bought or no?
It was
redone though, right?
It was I did a dumb thing. I bought a bus for like 10 grand and then put 60 grand into the bus.
Okay.
And so I should have done the other thing. I should have bought a bus
spent
for 60
some more on the actual bus.
Yeah, cuz now I've got to we might have to rebuild the whole engine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm having a new Kickstarter.
That's what I was afraid of. You're not going to sucker me in twice, Eddie.
I don't know. Man. I don't know what we're going to do. But we're under development right now to make it into a TV show. I'm working with the executive producers of Caesar 911 and the Car Chasers and what else they do, the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills, and also our showrunners, a guy from Tosh.0. So we've got really good people working on it, and we're trying to sell the show. So hopefully it will be a TV show, and the bus will be running.
Thank you very much for the call, Chris. We appreciate it.
Good luck.
Let's do one more, only because it's such a dumb call. I don't want to leave Emily from Encino out in the cold. Emily, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on the air. What's good?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
So last night on Loveline, Dr. Drew and their guests were playing a little game of Who Would You Rather? And I was thinking, would you rather Dita Von Teese or Jessica Rabbit in the flesh? Have sex with Dita Von Teese or Jessica Rabbit in the flesh.
Oh, in the flesh. Okay,
so she's not an actual cartoon. She's a human.
Yeah. Like if she were in front of you, like an actual person.
Is both not an acceptable answer?
is threesome not on the table?
I would love it at the same time.
All right. Well, look, since it's imaginary and we're all just making stuff up, let's just all agree that the threesome is how we'd choose. We just go with that. All right.
Awesome.
Well, all right. Greedy.
Well, we're just saying, do you have to have one or the other?
Right, exactly. If you're dreaming, dream big. Thank you.
How about if I have Dita Von Teese as a cartoon?
Plot twist.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, geez.
Emily's listening.
Yes.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ.
Jammo.
Kevin and Bean Show. 8:54.
I know Halloween's over.
Right.
But aren't vampires 24 hours every day, every night?
No.
They're not in the day, but they're every night.
They sleep during the day.
Vampires come out at night.
Right. So that's not 24 hours,
and
is
here
it?
Are the monkeys.
Come on. Come on. Get it.
Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show.
Hey, if you like the Showbiz Beat, I guess you would like Hollywood Babylon, the show I do with Kevin Smith. It's like just like the Showbiz Beat, only it's filthy, and I'm drunk, and Kevin Smith is stoned. So imagine that. Imagine talking about how big Liam Neeson's unit is.
And Ralph is a funny drunk. He's even funnier when he gets drunk.
I don't know about that, but
I'm saying.
I care less when I'm drunk, that's for sure. We're doing The Late Show this Friday at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
It's the only Hollywood Babylon of the month of November, so if you want to come out and see us this month, this is your chance. 10 p.m. Friday night at the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your information and your tickets. We have a good time. I think you should come out and join us.
Nope.com.
No way.
Okay. Beer mug is
the best.
Yes, and he keeps getting better. We've already explored his just tremendous dearth of knowledge about so many things today. He doesn't know how to use the toilet seat cover, and he doesn't know how to where his gas tank is. And then we were playing this song by Jimmy Eat World, Alien Ant Farm. Who the hell?
Oh, the last was Alien Ant Farm. Farm.
Yeah. It's the Michael Jackson cover of the song,
right?
Smooth criminal.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are, Annie, are you okay, right?
Yes.
He told me, the other said, you know, for the longest time, I thought this song was asking, Annie, are you Oakley?
What?
What?
That's what he thought the lyrics were?
Yeah. Annie, are you Oakey?
That doesn't...
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
There was a famous cowgirl named Annie Oakley.
Yeah, I know.
And he said, I just recently found out it's not. And he said, you know that song Panama by Van Halen? I used to think the lyrics were Cannonball. Cannonball.
Well, we could do a whole call-in one day on lyrics.
Maybe we should. Maybe we should. Lyrics
Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chief?
Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chief.
Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chief.
It should have been that, actually.
Yeah. No?
Sounds like a bad wrestling tag team.
Dude, this is a new level for the mugs. Yeah. This is a mess.
It is a mess. It's just the best. He's endlessly entertaining.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman looks like she's going to be added to the cast of the Wonder Woman movie. Can you imagine? No word yet on who she's going to play, but rumor has it she will be Queen Hippolyta. Who, of course, Kevin, as you know, is
the queen of that movie. I don't know.
She's the leader of the Amazonians.
Sure. Right.
She is the ruler of Themyscira, Paradise Island.
Sure.
Which is where all of the Amazons live.
Sure.
And Wonder Woman's an Amazon. It's a island completely populated by women. No men allowed.
It's like a nightmare.
All those women.
It's like a nightmare. What are you talking about?
That's awful. Where are all the men? Where's the island of just men? That's where I'd like to go.
Sounds like the best island ever. What is wrong with you?
That sounds awful.
How is it a good island, Kevin, if you're not allowed to be on it?
I'm saying if I...
You said it's...
Your plane gets shot down over it, and then you drop
okay,
in.
All like, right. Then what are you supposed to do? Now it's good news. Okay.
Colonel Steve Trevor, right. And then boom, Diana's administering to your wounds, right?
I'm administering to her wounds.
Didn't work.
Nope.
Denying that.
No.
Chris Pine, of course, is playing Steve Trevor in the film. Patty Jenkins is on board to direct. It'll be released in June of 2017.
Oh, June of 2017.
2017's already kind of filled it up for us.
Your calendar out.
It's given us a lot of news lately about the Twin Peaks and Star Trek and everything.
Wonder Woman will be played by the woman who's going to play it in Batman right. v Superman. Whose name?
Oh, yeah, what's her name?
Escapes me. Abe Vigoda.
Dazeem.
No, that's not it.
I think that was Davy Jones.
It wasn't Davy Jones. It was a beautiful...
Sarah Abramson?
No, beautiful Israeli actress, model.
Bar Rafaeli.
No.
Come on!
She is.
Thank you. Gigi Hadid.
No, it's something along those Gigi? Lines.
Gigi? It's Chi-Chi.
Did you say Gigi?
Gigi.
Did you say Gigi?
Giggity. Giggity Hadid.
Giggity.
Come on, Peter.
Giggity ID.
Come on, we all know who you're talking about, Ralph. What's your name?
No, you don't.
Why is nobody in the other room helping us and looking it up?
Because we're all laughing at you saying Giggy.
Gal Gadot.
That's
her name. Yes, Gal Gadot. Giggity. Giggity.
Giggity.
Giggity Franz ID. Ferdinand.
No, he already answered.
Come on, Joe. Let's go see Giggity ID.
Giggity.
Bean is Quagmire. And
that explains
so much, doesn't it? You guys familiar with Bad Brains? Legendary, pioneering punk band called Bad Brains. Sad news. Gary Miller, guitarist for that band, is apparently on life support in the hospital as we speak. Oh, you are rough. The band posted on Facebook, the Bad Brains family asked that you please keep Gary, also known as Dr. No, in your thoughts and prayers. The family respectfully asks that their privacy be honored during this time. We very much appreciate all the great energy that is being sent their way. What's his ailment, Bean? Do you know what's wrong?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. And it doesn't say in this article either what's going on. So I guess that's what they mean by respecting their privacy. But tragic news, because that band is a huge influence on a lot of our favorite bands. Gary, in fact, and the bassist, Daryl Jennifer, were on stage with Foo Fighters in New York City Field over the summer. And they were just rocking hard together. So I don't know what happened to Gary, but
they're one of those bands, you're absolutely right, Ralph, that maybe a lot of people don't know, but
boy,
most of their fans went on to form their own bands that became, very successful.
Absolutely.
They have so much influence.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew McConaughey is 46 years old today. All right, all right, all right. Sean Combs, also 46. Jeff Probst is 53 years old today. Ralph Macchio celebrates his 54th birthday. And comedian Kathy Griffin, our buddy, turns 55. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Yeah.
What, Ralph? What's that deep sigh all about, Ralph?
Well, the fine K-Rock listeners get to listen to Sublime. Those of us in the building, have to listen to Bean read a list of uplifting songs.
Yeah. I thought this would be something to be interesting to my coworkers who work in music radio.
That's the info, Bean.
Every time you say that, by the way. Every time you say that, I thought that would be interesting to my coworkers. Every time you say that, how many times has it ever panned out? Has it ever been the case?
I know you find this shocking. I was interested.
Yeah, well,
thank you, Allie.
You're welcome, Bean.
The part you missed is where Bean knows which one of us is weak. So in this particular case, he knew Allie would bite.
Oh.
So he directed it at Allie.
You know what? He's like
he
a lion.
He did say Allie. I'm reading this article.
He's like a lion stalking a herd of impala at a drinking hole at the Serengeti. He's looking for the hobbled one, the weak one, and then as we all scatter, he pounces. And
he said, "Hey, Allie, I'm reading a list." I was like,
"You know what? Delicious. I've never noticed that."
He does that a lot.
Bean.
He does that a lot.
Yep.
Know your audience. I dig it.
Beautiful Day by U2 is on the list.
Yep.
Here Comes the Sun. Living on a Prayer is on the list. Raspberry Beret by Prince, one of the most uplifting songs of all time.
I think Raspberry Beret was that photographer, that guy who was doing the passport pictures. Yeah. I think that's what he was adding to the photo, was it a Raspberry Beret on everybody's head.
You should get that checked.
How is Yellow by Coldplay one of the most uplifting songs of all time?
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
That's entertainment. You know what else is going to be entertainment? This Lego movie they're making with Will Arnett. He made such a big splash in the Lego movie as Batman. He's getting his own movie, Lego Batman the Movie. We're learning more and more about the cast. Will will return as the Caped Crusader. Michael Cera has been chosen to voice Robin. Rosario Dawson will be Batgirl. Zach Galifianakis in talks to play the Joker. That would be fun. And now it looks like Ralph Fiennes. It's Ralph, by the way. It's not freaking Rafe.
It's Rafe. He says it Rafe.
R-A-L-P-H.
He says Rafe.
I know nothing else. I know what that spells. And it's not mother loving Rafe.
Whatever the most famous Rafe wants to call it.
Son of a bitch. It's his brother Josef. Josef Fiennes.
Just saying.
He's going to be Bruce Wayne's butler, Alfred, in that film. So it's terrific.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome.
Remember when they did that at the Oscars? They performed that song and Will came out as Batman and shredded on guitar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was awesome.
Good times. A lot of Lego fans, by the way, speaking of Lego, are very upset with Lego.
How come?
Because they have this competition every year where you submit your idea for a new Lego playset that they haven't created yet.
Okay.
And a lot of people take their favorite film and stuff like that, and they'll create a new playset and they'll submit it. And if you get 10,000 votes from Lego fans, then the Lego company takes it under consideration and ends up producing one of them.
Okay.
It's like winning the golden ticket for a Lego geek.
Okay.
This year, they took a look at all of the different people who had 10,000 votes, all the people presenting their ideas, and said, nah, we're not going to do one this year. We don't like any of these. On you, Lego fans. Well, you can imagine. The Lego
you
fans.
You do not want Lego fans angry.
They're first one was so upset, he threw his pocket protector. That's how upset he got. There's a lot of grown-ups playing with Legos.
Yeah. And taking it very seriously.
Yes, and I'm sure I will get some angry emails.
Yes, you will.
It's well worth the price. Johnny Mathis. Does that name sound ring a bell at all? Johnny Mathis?
Love yeah. Johnny Mathis. Legend.
One of the best voices ever.
I feel like I step in a bear trap sometimes.
You do.
With this show.
You
news.
Should know that that's a dangerous story.
He's an 80-year-old singer.
Right. That's what Bean loves.
But it doesn't
that's
make
his
him
wheelhouse.
Not
You're right.
Come on, Ralph. That is totally on me.
Hey, chances are he's it's not for me to say. Crap. He's wonderful, wonderful. He's too much, too little, too late. He's great.
And now he's homeless.
And now he's, yeah, sad.
Yeah.
Is he?
His house burned to the ground.
Oh.
Yeah. He was flying back to L.A. after a show in Cleveland Monday night. When he was told the house he lived in for 56 years in the Hollywood Hills was gone.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster,
said Johnny.
So he won't be home for Christmas?
He's got another place in Palm Springs. He'll be okay.
What about all the stuff? What about all the memories, all the photographs, all of the awards, all of his belongings, Bean? What about those?
Stuff.
Well,
it's true. That's a good point.
He was interviewed on NBC Channel 4 the other night. While his house was burning, they were interviewing him out in front of his house. And he said that can all be replaced. Things are just things. People are what's important, and no one was hurt.
I wish you could see this.
That is quite a good
Come on,
man.
Pizza first.
Well, you asked me what about the stuff. I'm telling you, he asked and answered. He
I
said
don't
the
think
stuff
he was really asking about the stuff. I think he was just, it was a rhetorical question. Like, right. Wow, wouldn't that suck?
Right. If anyone had a fire in their home where they lived for many years, you'd lose things that are
stop
of
being
sentimental
you.
Value.
He's got a positive
stop
attitude about it.
Stop being you.
Oh, God. Oh, ow. Ow. Oh, it burns. Oh, it burns.
I blame you, Ralph. You should have known.
I absolutely did this to myself. This is a self-inflicted wound. I'm the guy in Alabama carrying his gun into Walmart and shooting himself in the foot.
Yep.
He's down on the phone.
Get down on the phone. Because something's got to change, right?
Sure.
Don. Come on, Don. Help a brother out.
We're just having a conversation about a thing in the news. It's not a big, bad thing.
Yes. Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right,
Rodney. I'm with you, Rod. Right. Mod Rod. Matthew McConaughey. All right. Let me tell you a little story about Matthew McConaughey.
Okay.
I was lucky enough to be cast in a movie starring Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
Called Two for the Money.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for a couple weeks with him and could not have been a nicer guy on the planet. Just a sweet, sweet guy. Very supportive. Fun to work with. Came to the set every day with a good mood. Knew everybody's name. Just was a great guy. And I went to say goodbye to him at the end of my shoot when I wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up and he said, Ralph, pleasure working with you. And I went to hug him.
Mm-hmm.
And his body felt like it was made out of marble. It was like steel. It was like he was. I've never felt a harder person in my life.
Because he's so buff. He's so buff, you mean?
He was so
buff. Because he worked
buff.
Out so much?
He was so muscular that I'd never felt anything like that on a human being before.
Did you hold on for a little too long?
A little too long.
So I was uncomfortable.
I was squeezing a little, trying to process what I was touching. It didn't
like,
feel
the body
human.
Fan?
It didn't feel human is what I'm saying. He might be a robot. Maybe he's a robot. It felt like steel.
Yeah.
He was so hard.
What?
That's what he sounded like. And I every time I think of Matthew McConaughey, I think of clasping him and just feeling the hardness of his body.
Oh, God.
Were there any naked bongo incidents on
nope.
the set? Or?
No. Nope. Professional, baby. Look it up.
Loves to run around naked.
In the book. Not on our set. He was living in that Airstream trailer, though. You know, the rest of us were very comfortable hotel rooms, and he was living in a trailer. But
that's before he started talking about that goddamn car.
What a nice man.
Every day. Can't get away from that.
I pull my trailer with a Lincoln. You know, I was driving Lincolns before anybody paid me to do it. 46 years old today. Happy birthday, you hunk of man, you. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Right.
Sean Combs is 46. Jeff Probst is 53. Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid himself.
Ralph Macchio!
Right, yes. That gentleman seems surprised.
Oh.
54 years old today. We won't even get into my cousin Vinny again. I don't have the strength for it anymore. Mm-hmm. Being Johnny Mathis chunk
took it out of you, didn't it?
Yeah. And Kathy Griffin, our friend and comedian, 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin DeBean Show, we have Will Wheaton on the program.
Will Wheaton?
We got that. We also have your Disneyland Resort Deluxe annual passes. We've got Jim Rome on the program and Dr. Drew as well. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin DeBean Show.